The following talk was given at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on October 26, 2025. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
First, I just wanted to say thank you for being so welcoming. I've been here not that long, a couple of days, I guess, and really enjoyed the potluck. It's a great timing to come, and that was yesterday, right? Sorry for a bit jumbled up with the time zones, but and can I check? Can you hear me? Okay, at this kind of volume, should I speak up a little bit more? Yeah, sure. So thank you. So there's lots I want to say in this time. It's a strange thing to sit here now because in some ways I've been thinking about this talk. I mean, I have been thinking about this talk for a long time. You know, a long time. Even before I knew I was going to give the talk here, I've been thinking about it and then thinking about it. And so the natural question would be, do I feel ready to give this talk, having thought about it so much? And some kindly people here also yesterday at the potluck, very naturally and very kindly, asked me, are you ready to give your talk? You know? You feel ready. And this morning, I woke early. I sat on a chair right in the corner there. Hi, come in. Yeah, so, and then I went to Jones. Thank you, Steve, for the recommendation. So I went to Jones and had some coffee there this morning. And started to message my wife and my son in the UK. And they also started to ask me, are you ready for your talk? and good luck, you know, don't, my son is 15. Don't be stressed, Daddy, you'll be okay. But how can you be ready for a talk? How could, in a sense, how could I be ready for this? I'm not saying I am ready or that I'm not ready, but how could I possibly be ready for this talk? Even a moment ago, how could I be ready for this talk? Months ago, weeks ago, years ago even, how could I be ready for this talk? And now, where is this talk now? Now that it's finally here, where is it? And in a funny kind of way, why would I want to be ready for this talk? Deep down, why would I want to be ready for this talk? There's many reasons why I would want to be ready for this talk, but deep down, being ready for this talk is not even possible. And if I were to be ready for this talk, to be ready to be sitting here now with this going on, well, it's better that I'm not ready, in a sense. So this morning, I took a walk down to the lake. I've been going around the lake a lot, actually, these past few days. A good place to walk and to think. And I've had so many versions of what I might say. Lots of voices. Make sure to say this. And don't forget to say that. And better if you say this first and then that. Not the other way around, otherwise it won't make any sense. But the talk is something that we are, in a sense, doing together now. We'll create the talk now. And you'll be the talk now as well. And it's is unpredictable, but we would want it to be unpredictable in a sense. So in a couple of the talks that I recorded, some of you might have listened to them and some not, it doesn't matter. But in a couple of the previous talks I gave, and in those cases, what I was doing was to sit and as best I could imagine that I was sitting here in order to be able to write down some things that felt that I, if I had been here, that I would have been comfortable with saying them and they would have been authentic. And in those talks, when I began writing them, I remember writing a few things at the start. And one of the things that I wrote was that my talk was not about something in particular. So how on earth are you going to talk about something if there is nothing in particular to talk about? How long is that talk going to last? And yet at the same time, how can I convey in a talk that is apparently not about anything in particular that it is also somewhat urgent? I urgently need to talk to you about something, but nothing in particular. How on earth can that be urgent? And how can I begin a talk like that? And now here, sitting here, months later, with ample opportunity to prepare for this quite possibly quite stressful situation. And in a sense, I frittered all that time away by not actually putting pen to paper and getting it so smooth and slick that it would just come off beautifully, you know? Something in me refused to do that. But that by no means means that I haven't been thinking incessantly about this talk. I have. It's not like it's, oh no, it's going to be fine. No way. A lot of thinking about this talk has happened. But the thinking about this talk was in fact not thinking about this talk. It was thinking about that talk in my mind at that moment. And then again, another talk, again and again and again, but never this talk. And now this talk is here and it's going on and it's not exactly clear what it is. So what I wanted to remember, and my memory, strangely, is beginning to fail, which I'll, if I remember, we'll come back to that point. Or if I don't, it's because my memory is beginning to fail. But what I wanted to say is, just to go back to that point about, are you ready? Are you ready to give this talk? I would say back to that, why would I want to be ready for this talk? And I would also say that this talk that I appear not to be ready to be giving, you all and me, you all can give this talk. There is a kind of language it doesn't have words to it, so it's not really a language. But let's say there's a kind of language. But it's an immediate kind of language that doesn't require words. You could, if you wanted to, call it a life language or reality language. You could make up some strange sounding word to wrap that all up. But it's a language that is not ever not going on, and it's a language that everybody is quite capable, it's in our bones to be able to speak. Speaking or not, that language is there. I said that my memory is failing. I think it is. I just turned 50. And as I look at myself in the mirror, which I do, I can see externally the signs of aging. I cut my hair very short, actually. Maybe that You, some of you might, for whatever reason, perhaps if you saw me in a video, you might have noticed that I had longer hair, but I cut it anyway. And it wasn't to try to look like a fancy spiritual person. It was to remove grey hairs that are starting to sprout up. And a quality of hair that is not like my hair used to be. Quite thick hair, but it's kind of getting weird. It's brittle and kind of wiry. I didn't like it. So I decided to shave it off, try and look a bit younger. But that's just on the outside. I'm also aware that, like I said, my memory is just starting to fail, just at the start. I'm not in some kind of panic about it, but I can guarantee to you that it's starting to break down. It's glitching. It happened to me back in the UK where someone asked me my address. And I panicked for a moment. I thought, my God, what if I can't answer this question? And I don't know if it was the panic that prevented me from being able to give my address normally, or I actually couldn't quite access my address. But what ended up happening is I gave my old address. And as I was saying my old address, I thought, this isn't going well. This is not my actual address. but I'll just go along with it now because I'm not going to say to the person, sorry, I'm in the middle of giving you my wrong address. Bear with me. And then I'll get the right one after that. So I just went along with it and it didn't matter. They didn't really need my correct address. But as I left, I thought, wow, jeez. And I was scared, actually. A bit shaken. Oh, God. It's glitching now. And you know, I'll tell you about these leaves here. There's some leaves on the table. I thought, well, if I'm not going to bring notes to this talk, and I'm not going to have used all the ample time to get one properly sorted out, as I went down to the lake this morning, and the leaves are stunning, I saw these leaves amongst many on the sidewalk, on the pavement, and they were beautiful leaves. But when I looked at them, I thought, wait a minute, I recognize those leaves. And I said to myself, they're from the tulip tree. Now, the funny thing about the tulip tree, there's a couple of things funny. First of all, they are not from the tulip tree. I got it wrong, actually. So in reality, if any of you are leaf experts, I now realize these are not from the tulip tree. But in that moment, I thought, well, tulip tree leaves, one of the few leaves that I think I know. And the story for me about the tulip leaves is about this time last year in the UK, I was on holiday with my family, my wife, my son, 15-year-old Nicole. And there actually was there in the UK, down in the southwest, where we were renting a holiday cottage, an actual tulip tree. And it was stunningly beautiful and also quite unusual. I'd never seen something like it. And the leaves were somewhat like this. What actually makes this not a tulip tree leaf, I now realize. But this is about 9 a.m. this morning. I was trying to like, okay, let's get this right now. Now, the tulip tree leaf, they're a bit more bulbous. They're kind of round, almost like a strange thing this way. And actually, they don't just have one point at the top. They actually have a couple. It goes like that. Almost looks like the outline of a cat's head or something like that. But otherwise quite similar. I think this is a maple. And it's not related, sadly, to the tulip tree. I was hoping that I could at least quickly Google and say they're related. And apparently they're not, although tulip trees do exist in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. That is apparently the case in the southern part of the state. But the reason I'm talking about these leaves like that is that my son started to play a game with me, which was that over time he kept in the middle of any other kind of conversation or whatever we were doing in this holiday we're taking, he would say, Dad, what's the name of that tree again? And he knew I wouldn't be able to remember it. And he thought it was incredibly funny. And And then he still does it now, you know, at random times. He'll say, by the way, Dad, what was the name of that tree again? Just to watch me struggle to recall the name. And I have a strange pathway back to tulip tree. First, I have to say peach tree. No. Then I have to say elephant tree. No. And then tulip tree. So I found a kind of coping mechanism for the fact that I cannot directly recall the name of this leaf. And this morning I thought, there it is again on the floor. And actually, I have got the name wrong again. It's not actually even a tulip tree leaf. But the point for me about this is memory, my memory is glitching now. But does that matter? Does that matter? And back to this talk, does this matter that I am not going to go back into thought to have something to share with you? And what is it to live and to not live by going back into thought repeatedly? What is it to live with a directness? So this directness doesn't require memory. We don't require memory. So it's as if in this room, we have this room, we have things, these cushions, you, the chairs, me, Jamie, and then we have Jamie, non-Jamie. We have room, non-room. Cushions, non-cushions. Things, things, non-things. Things, things, non-things. Things, things, delusion and dark. Things, non-things, illusion. Delusion, illusion. Delusion, illusion. Just those two. I don't find a third. I find delusion and illusion only. Delusion and illusion. Illusion, illumination. Delusion, confusion. So things, non-things. There is confidence there. It's not confidence. There's no self-confidence. The confidence is not going like that. It's not going in back to memory, then out. There is just confidence from without. So for this talk, when I was considering a name for it, I wanted to include the word field. And I wanted to include the word forward. Because I wanted to try to point to the coming forward of what can't be particularly pointed out. We have a life of living in things, this and that, alternating here, not this, then it's that. It's not this, then it's that. Backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. That's the only space in which it feels that our life is. Until at some point, and it's hard to know, it's hard to say when this is or how this is, but at some point there is something realer than this real and that real. They become less real. And what instead comes forward is something that was completely overlooked the entire time. This, that, this, that. And then coming forward is something that appeared to be hidden the entire time. And that we'll call the field. This middle ground, let's say, middle because of this and that. So where the real concreteness is, if we're going to use the word concrete, and it's not the right word. It's not the right word. But would be this field. The field that doesn't depend on us knowing it, constantly pointing it out, saying it is this or it is that. It doesn't require anything. So it doesn't require our memory. It's there, and it's absolutely undeniable. That's where the confidence is. It's not a mental conceptual confidence. This speaking now is not derived through conceptual figuring it out. If anything, it's derived through noticing even for a moment that life is not this or that. It is not this or that. This or that thing, this thing there, that thing there, always miss it. Ping pong. Just miss it. Skim it. It is as if reality is of a different nature to the reality that we think of in life. If we could put it this way, I would say there are two natures. Don't hold on to this, and I'll say another thing at a different moment. But just for now, I'll say there are two natures. But the nature we live with is the nature of a thought of world, an understood world. I understand life. I understand the world. There is a world. There is a world. There is something called life. There is definitely something called life. There is something called life, let's say. That goes without, we're not going to question that. There is something called life. And then let's build on top of that. Then there is something called death. Then there is something called time. Then there is something called meaning. Then there is something called panic. Then is what am I supposed to do? And I don't know when I'm going to die. And this is some nightmare. That's what we live in. But it's okay, we'll figure it out over time. We'll work it out. We'll stay healthy. We'll stretch out the years as much as possible. We'll figure it out. But all the while we're missing the safety, the confidence, the ground of something that didn't need any of that. Didn't need to be understood. Absolutely no need to understand anything. There's no need to awaken. The seeing is going on nonstop. No need to layer on top of that. There's not a single step that you need to take along a line of thought, of a thought that you haven't thought of yet, that if only you would think that thought, yes, then we would get it. There's not a single potential thought outside of what you're already thinking along that line of thought that you're thinking along. There's not another thought beyond that that you need to think, that you don't know what that thought is yet, but you need to find it and then think it. You don't need to do any of that. It's just layers upon layers upon layers of unnecessariness. Because this is the wrong word again, like all of these, but the safety is there. I say it's the wrong word because you don't even need to be, there's no need for safety. Even that's saying far too much and is inferring, like bringing up too much. So everything is in danger, unavoidably creating more layers on top of things. That's why... That's the meaning Bankei or Bankai, however you say the Rinzai master's name. He came up with the word of the unborn. Unborn because he was looking for a word that would serve to point back to where you haven't got started yet. It's prior to that endeavor, that journey of thought into understanding, the unborn. No trace of life or death in the unborn. Don't even need to build a structure of life and death. There's no need, no, in a sense, again, wrong word, but it's prior to life and death. This confidence, this field forward. Forward comes, it comes forward. And then in a sense, everything that you had this entire time been classing as definitely concrete, reveals that it is of a different nature. It is of a mental nature. So when we say things, whilst our entire life, we've always thought, well, there are things. We've never really looked closely like what is a thing? In the first place, is it even possible? Is that even a possibility? So this field then comes forward and things, these concrete things, do not disappear. They just become like first cup, fine, no problem. But I would say cup, non-cup. Because I want to be able to point to the fact that this does not need to be a thing. And as soon as it is one, problems begin. Confusion begins. As soon as we settle for this to be a particular thing, all the trouble starts. If we could just stay a little before, cup, non-cup. Is it a cup? Is it not a cup? Well, here it is. But no need to fix it. And then all of a sudden, there's absolutely no need for any step in any direction. And we find ourselves in the center of this talk. And all kinds of stuff can happen, any direction. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. Because we're at the center, at this place of confidence, which is a deeper confidence than anything we could possibly hold in our mind as an idea. When I was preparing for this talk, trying to, though it was like walking around with a net, catching thoughts, but the net had no net in it, and they were just flying out of the other end of it. And come on, like, get them down. I'd write them down, but as soon as I would see them, it's like, no, that doesn't even sound right. And the day after, I'd wake up, and what was that thought? No, that just doesn't feel it. Because the words, the reality doesn't belong inside those words. So you might think of something, but the day later, you look at those same words, and there's no reality there anymore. It's just flown away. So hopelessly going around trying to prepare for what I could say is the most important talk for me, to be in this situation. Failing to catch any thoughts at all. And one recurring thought that did keep coming back unhelpfully was, what if I finish saying what I want to say and I look down at the clock and it's literally like, I don't know, 10:05 or something. And now what am I going to do? And there are thousands of unsaid things that I will probably, tomorrow I'll carry on thinking about this talk. It will be over, but I will certainly carry on. Probably for a long time, I'll think about this talk. And I'll think, God, I didn't say that then. But maybe I won't. But it is 10:35. I would love to talk more, you know. And I have tried to talk. Not here, obviously, but I have tried to talk. And sometimes it feels like I've put things in a way that I wouldn't say makes sense, but I don't know. Maybe I could just say this, and then I'll see if anyone wants to say anything. But it doesn't matter if there's nothing that people want to say, but I'll stop after that. But what I would like to kind of say is just to go back to this word delusion and illusion. And I said there were just these two. There's not delusion, illusion, and then some third extra place. There's just these two movements. And for me, I'll be going in and out of those constantly. I'm not on one side or the other. One side, there's no enduring problems. The other side, back there, all kinds of things to be done, all kinds of stress, back and forth, back and forth. But for this talk, I've just tried to share with you some of the things that come up for me. And there's no doubt in my mind that from this point on, as I live for however long that's going to be, and the inevitable decline that will happen, that the only single thing that I would like to remember, one thing only that I would like to remember, and everything else can go. And it's to remember to forget. Remember to forget. Don't remember to remember. Don't remember to keep hold of. Remember to forget. In that forgetting, then we are back in the center of this room, center of this talk. So So I'll stop. Thank you. And feel free to say anything if you have anything that, and if there's nothing, that's fine too.
Your talk has given fresh meaning to a verse toward the end of the Shenzhen meaning, trusting the heart mind. Being is an aspect of non-being, non-being an aspect of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, hi, thanks for your talk. Just what you mentioned about when you held the cup up and sort of talked about, you know, the cup and then the non-cup, I was thinking, you know, you're calling it a cup, obviously. We all see that. Anyone that sees that is going to agree it's a cup. Does that, just by the fact that we all kind of see that same thing, does that sort of create a reality, sort of an objective reality that it is a cup? Or is that just sort of a kind of illusion where we have, or how do you see that? Is that something you can comment on?
I would say there's nothing that we can think individually, collectively, that makes any difference to anything. Whether you think that's a cup, whether you speak to your neighbor and your neighbor agrees that that's a cup. And I'm not saying that's not a cup. I'm just preferring to look and not stop looking at it. I'm preferring to do that than to settle for one of those places. Either to settle where everybody else has settled, whether it's being a cup, or to settle somewhere else, some other obscure place that it's somehow not a cup. As if that's, maybe it's not a cup and that's what it is, it's not a cup. I'm not settling anywhere. And I might think it is a cup. I might think it's not a cup, whatever the thinking does and whatever my neighbor does to agree with me that it's a cup or not or whatever. I'm saying that we don't need to settle at one extreme or another. And by settling at one extreme or another, we get no closer. We remain permanently adrift. So to be not permanently adrift, we have to begin to look again. And in our looking, remembering to look and remembering to forget that it is a cup, remembering to look, just look, looking, then we are safe. We're in an undeniable position there. As soon as we have gone to say, actually, it's a cup, we are on fragile ground there. And slowly around that, confusion will grow all over. Hope that's okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.